It's all about you. Man, so much of the time I can make it so much about me. Even when I'm coming to you, it's all about me. Oh, Lord. I'm thankful for your forgiveness. I'm thankful that you wash us clean. You don't leave any stain behind. My past is past. It's not covered. It's washed. It's removed in Christ. So I thank you, Lamb of God, for dying for me, for paying for me, for loving me and my brothers and sisters, and making us a family together in Christ, and giving us a purpose and a plan, and in offering us the opportunity even to talk to you like this. It's so amazing. We can converse with the Creator. So we ask right now, will you come meet us here? You know the questions that you got, you know the frustrations that we have, you know the doubts, the disobedience, the hardness, and the brokenness, and the weakness. You know it all. We just want to bring it to you. It's okay. Do a greater work today that we would never be the same again, that we'd be transformed. Would you change us into that praying people that you've called us to be, that we'd be communing with you constantly with great joy. So speak through me, Father, that we might be transformed by you, by your Spirit. We invite you right now, come, teach us, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Jesus, the Son of God, was praying. Why would the Son of God need to pray? Because he was God in a bod. He was in a human form. He needed, but you know what else? He wanted. I think so often when we start to talk about prayer, we really get hung up on the needed part, because that's what we relate to, is like, I am so needy. But you know, Jesus came because he loved his Father. He loved spending time with his Father. I love getting phone calls from my sons, and my daughters-in-law, and my grandkids. I love hearing from my family, don't you? And in particularly, sometimes you like hearing from them when it's not, hey, can you send money? You know? I mean, the idea that, hey, why'd you call? Well, I just wanted to talk. Can we enter into that spot where we recognize that prayer, as we're going to see, is critical for spiritual productivity, but it's also about a relational connectivity. Jesus knew something about prayer that we need to get into our hearts. Is that praying makes a difference. It's an interesting thing to think about. I can't go there all today. It's going to be about 10 weeks and we'll be back on the subject of prayer again, I think. But prayer makes a difference in heaven and on earth. It's a sobering thought to realize the power of what we're talking about. But all through his life, Jesus was praying. As he was dying, Jesus was praying. And when you look at the early church, they were praying. That was the mark of the believer, was they were praying people. And that's my desire. I'm so thankful for the praying team that we have here and for the praying people that we have here. But I desire that we be more. We are not there yet. You know what I mean? We're not there yet. There is more that he has for us. And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to see some of this today. Why pray constantly? Paul was instructing the believers at Ephesus in how to be powerful in spiritual battle. And so we just walk through those different six parts of the armor, okay? And in one Sunday, I confess again, that is not enough. So, Lord willing, second Sunday in September, we're going to go through the armor of God. We're going to take our time to go back through that. But we're going to wrap the book up and then come back, all right? But he showed them the armor. And then the next thing he says in verse 18. After he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. That's where I got my title. Why pray constantly? Because the Bible tells you to. Am I telling you anything new yet today? You all know this. We all know this. So one of the things I want us to wrestle with and discover as we look into is, why don't we do this in the way he's inviting us to? So he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, with what in view? With the view that you understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. In view of the fact that we are in a spiritual battle, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Why pray constantly? Because prayer is the path of relationship with God. Why do you talk to your spouse? You're married. You don't have to anymore. You don't have to, right? See, that's the thing, is if you look at this thing and say, oh, I have to pray, you're missing out the point. I love to talk to my spouse. Sometimes she gets tired of my talking because I talk a lot. That's surprising news to all of you, I know. But why do we pray? One of the first things he's saying here is we're praying because prayer is the key to victory. Prayer is the key to victory. There is something that God wants to do in your life, and he says, I'm going to get it done by you choosing to become a praying person. You know, Father gives his children access to himself and to his treasure through prayer. What's the point of a key? The point of a key is to open up something that's locked. It's to give you access to something that's not necessarily freely available to all. Do you understand that prayer is the privilege of the believer? That we have a Father who says, if you'll come and pray, I will pour out the blessings of heaven until there is no need. He says, if you'll ask, I will. If you'll seek, I'll respond. If you'll knock, I'll open. So prayer is a key, all right? It is a process, but it's a key in the process to understand that what you can enter into in the spiritual realm can only be done by praying. Oh man, we try so hard to get stuff done physically, don't we? You get done with your day and you want to know, hey, what did I get done? Isn't that right? Some of you are like me. You actually go back on that to-do list and you write down the stuff that you did and you check it off because you're a performance person and you feel better about yourself if you do that. But I want you to put a different list together at the end of the day. All right? This is not in my notes. This is stuff given right here. All right? What did God get done today? Have you ever done that? You get done with a day and say, what did God get done? What did God teach me? What did God show me? How did God use me? That's going to be a much more exciting list. It might be a smaller list, but it'll be a better list, all right? So thanks. That wasn't mine, all right? Listen, he says, pray with all prayer and petition. In other words, with all sorts of prayer. Sometimes people will tell you, well, this is the way you have to do it, and this is the way you have to do it, and we've received all sorts of instruction. He says, the issue is use your lips and your heart to talk with God in all sorts of ways. It can be praise. It can be songs. We were singing our prayers with Leo this morning. Thank you for inviting us into the throne room of God as we worship. But you also can you sing your prayers, you can pray your songs. We can do that. He says, with all prayer. This prayer is God's plan for you. Right? It starts young and you never get too old for it. Isn't that right? But I want to warn you about something. I have discovered this. Maybe you have never had this happen. Prayer can create problems. It can create problems. Because you pray, telling God what he ought to do. I know you. You're just like me. You tell God what he ought to do, and then he doesn't do what you told him to do, and you're irritated with the God of heaven. That's kind of hard. We don't want to ever admit that. We're just disappointed that this didn't happen. No, you're mad at God because God didn't do what you wanted. And so when you begin to pray and you begin to step into this realm where you begin to ask and move in the kingdom of God, you can ask God for things and expect God from things and be disappointed when God doesn't do some of the stuff that you thought he would do and you thought he led you to ask and you haven't seen it and you're like, fine. And you give God the silent treatment. That helps a lot, doesn't it? It works really well in marriage, too. Works well with friendships. You just don't talk to them. That always makes everything go better. Where do we come up with these ideas? Listen. He says, I want you to pray with all prayer and petition at all times in the Spirit. Persistent prayer. Independence upon the Spirit is the key to victory. Every victory is won through prayer. You read any biography of any victorious saint, missionary, pastor, and you will find prayer is the foundation of their life. You don't get there without it. Why? Because it's a God relationship. Isn't that right? That we know this, even as I say it, you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we don't do it. I take times of fasting. This is just bad confession, okay? And I can spend a day where I'm fasting and still not be doing the praying that I'm fasting to be praying about. we got bodies and minds that do not always cooperate with moving into the supernatural, with moving out of the physical into the spiritual. And so it's challenging. So I want you to understand, this is a spiritual encounter, so you can understand what I'm saying. But if your heart doesn't respond to what I'm saying, you're not going to move today, because there's a dependence upon the Spirit that is required. He says, we're supposed to be persistently praying people. That's encouraging this idea of a continuous conversation with God. It's not a duty, even though we know it is. It's a delightful duty. Okay? And if it's not a delightful duty, do it different. You're not with the Father that I know. The Father that I know is awesome to talk to. He's an amazing Father to speak with. And you can express yourself to God personally and specifically in this relationship is really what he's saying. When God says ask, when God says seek, when God says knock, he's saying come spend time with me so you and I can do some things together. And that is the biggest, bestest invitation you will ever get in your life. The God of the universe says, let's do some stuff together. And we go, I don't have time. You know, I don't know about you, but it just seems really foolish to tell the God of all time, I don't have time. You know, I said, okay, he can, you know, if he was like us, he'd say, oh, really? I want to show you what kind of time you've got. I'm glad he's not like that. But he says, pray with all prayer and petition at all times in the Spirit. So praying is constantly needed. That's one of the things he's revealing. It's a needed thing. And I think we all get that part. We know I need to be praying. But I want you to see another part here, and this is one I think you know as well, is that prayer is always commanded. I am given direct, specific information in the Word of God that I am to be a continually praying person. Am I telling you the truth this morning? Okay. But here's the one I don't think we believe. It's not only needed. Praying constantly is not only commanded. Praying constantly is possible. God would not have told you to do something you could not, by his Spirit, do. It's usually when we talk about what the Scriptures say, somehow in the back of our minds, there's this little release that says, yeah, I know, but I can't do that. We're not talking about just you're always on your knees 24/7. You can't do that. You can do more. Some of you can't do the knee thing. It's all right. If you kneel in your spirit, God gets it. But if you can kneel, I have found position helps. It does. It's all the way through the Scriptures. Positioning helps. And prostrate, you know, flat on your face before God is a great position. Sometimes for me, it's flat on my back before God. Whatever it is, it's before God, and it's humbling of yourself. But it's recognizing that you're in a war. God knows what's best. He calls you to communicate with him. And it can be about your parenting, it can be about your marriage, it can be about the marriage you wish you had, it can be about your provisions, it can be about the neighbor that you're wanting to see come to Christ. But pray at all times in the Spirit. In fact, you know that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, you do have a few verses memorized. You may not think you do, but you have, because us preachers have said them often enough. You've heard them often enough. You've reminded yourself of them often enough. But 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17. Read it with me. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Do you understand those two are tied together? That when you come to God, you ought not to be sniveling every time you come. All right, it is okay to come and cry in God's presence. I do. But he says, rejoice always. That if I believe there's a God who's working, if I believe there's a God who's at work for good in my life, then I can come rejoicing because he's going to do something amazing. Why has your prayer life weakened? That's a question I had to ask myself this week. That I've been asking for several weeks. So this is kind of fun to actually get to hear, because you guys know I'm just walking out my stuff in front of you. It's a little embarrassing, but it's real. Is my prayer life had weakened? And I had to recognize that it wasn't that I lacked a frequency. And I pray a lot, but I lacked a fervency. It wasn't that I lacked words, but I lack specifics. Do you know you can start getting general and fuzzy with God? Have you ever had somebody, you know, you call them up to talk to them and you realize they really don't want to talk to me? You know, because when you call up your friend and they want to talk to you, they step into deep stuff with you. You know, you have those kind of friends and you can just talk forever and it's like, whoa, you just whoo, right down to the real stuff. And you call up somebody else and it's like, oh my stars, are we just going to talk about the weather all day? Don't, by the way, I really don't think we ought to spend much time with the weather with God. He's pretty much in charge of it. Just, and he wanted it hot this week. So I hope you were not complaining to the King of Creation about the fact that he says, let's cook them, all right? So that's part of what made some of you pray this week, but then you started complaining. You still missed the whole point. Oh, anyway, listen. I'm a weak, needy person, and I don't know how to pray as I should. That's a biblical principle. Romans 8:26 says, we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So that's why we pray in the Spirit. That's why when you come, it's like, would you please lead me where I should go? So even when I come to pray, I'm asking God to help me pray. So I pray that I could pray. That sound weird? That's what I do. That's the only way I get there. I find if you're willing, God's willing. He's willing to take you from wherever you are to where you could be. You may not think you can be there. You may look at somebody else's prayer life and go, oh my stars, I can never pray like that. Good, don't. Pray like you. You know, I mean, I grew up with a great prayer. I mean, that's part of what has birthed a pastor was my mother's prayers. And she was an awesome prayer. She only knew how to pray in King James English. No problem with God. That to her was reverence. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's some people that pray that way. It was a sincere thing to her. It wasn't a phony thing with her. She was real with God. And you knew it. I mean, you didn't have to know her, but you heard her pray. I've told that story before, but you know, I had my neighbor boy over, a friend of mine over for dinner one night, and Dad was gone to work, and so Mom prayed the prayer for dinner. After dinner, we were going out the door, and he says, your mom sounds like she knows God. And I said, she does. Does it sound like you know God when you talk to him? Or do you sound like this weird person? Just be real. But it comes from that weakness. There is a spirit of dependence. Prayer flows from a spirit of dependence, not a personal strength. I find if you've been in the church, now if you're new, this you don't even need this right now, but if you've been in the church a while, you've heard prayer talked about so much, and you're like, I need to be stronger, I need to be that kind of person. No, the reality is you need to know how weak you are, or you'll never pray strong. It flows from a dependent spirit, not a personal, it's not, I'm such a good prayer. Yeah, I'm doing. I hear people talk like that, but I don't think that's how you get in the kingdom. And all the prayers I've read in this book, almost all of them are broken people, and God hears them. That's what's so encouraging. You know, even if you're getting wet, you know, you're Peter out there walking on water. Lord, save me! Good enough. You don't have to be elaborate with God, but you do have to be dependent. Because if you're not dependent, you're independent. And if you're independent, you're rebelling against the Father who said, call on me. So here's what I'm finding out. Through brokenness, through spiritual brokenness, through physical brokenness, if dependence is my goal, then weakness is my advantage. I heard that listening to PD preach this week, Padoka. Yeah, great guy, young guy. But this is something I've learned. I hadn't used those words before, but you know, Christ told Paul, it's in 2 Corinthians 12, he told Paul after he'd come to him again and said, would you please take this thorn in my flesh away? We don't know what it was, but it was something miserable. I do understand that a little bit, I think. And Jesus said to Paul, oh, okay, fine. We'll make life easy for you. Is that what it said? He said, my grace is sufficient. It's not going away. See, I think there's a lot of times people think if you really learn how to pray, you can command and it will happen and everything moves and it all goes the way you want and life is easy. You're always healthy, wealthy, and fertile. If you're biblical, that's the other blessing that comes with that. But some of you did not even catch that. Oh, man. Check your Bibles out. They always wanted more kids. Anyway, no, there's times when you end up in brokenness before God and he says, this is the way you're going to limp for the rest of your life. He says, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is what? It's perfected, completed in weakness. And we hate being weak, don't we? Because it makes us look bad. But if you're willing to be weak in this life, depending on him, you make God look good. And that's what it's about. Strength is perfected in weakness. And so that's what I meant when I'm saying, if dependence upon God is my goal, then my weakness is my advantage in this life. And I'm learning. I haven't got that down, but I'm learning that. So how is your walk in the Spirit? That's what we're talking about, this prayer conversation with God. Prayer is not just reading God lists. I've got lists of things I want to pray for because there's things I don't want to forget. There's missionaries I want to remember, so I have cards and things that I do to discipline my soul to pray for where I may not go without some elbow. So I go there. But prayer is not reading God lists of requests any more than marriage is you reading your honey-do this list to your spouse. That's not what it is. It's a part of this relationship of communication, but there's more to it than that. This conversation of dependency. It's a process of getting to know God. Do you remember the first time you talked with your best friend? And all of a sudden you found that, oh my, we talked and we talked and we talked. I know a couple here went on their first date 4 hours later. First date, could not stop talking. Here's a clue. They'd be married people now. Okay. But there's this blending. But what are you doing? In the talking, you're getting to know someone. Here's what's important about this. Why do I bring this up? Because so often I think people look at prayer as this idea of informing God. You are not going to surprise him with anything you have to say. He already knows. He's like, oh, I didn't know that. I'll get right on that. I want to break this a little bit because I think so often there is this physicalness to our existence that interferes with the spirit work that he wants to do. So my praying physically is about me stepping into this spirit realm saying, okay, God, I know you're doing something here. Would you help me understand it? So whether I'm praying for my child or my grandchild or my neighbor that won't let me talk to him about Jesus. Okay, God, what are you showing me here? I want to figure this out. Do you understand what I mean? And you can be brokenhearted before God and you're asking God for things, but I'm getting to know God and he knows what he's doing. It's a relationship. But it's a war. You can't forget we are in a war. That's what this whole chapter has been about. And so how do I stand firm against an unseen spiritual enemy? I do it by praying. It's the only way I can stand. Please never, never mistake what you see in this pulpit as a strong person. This guy is not strong. But I have a strong Savior. I have an awesome God that's with me. And so he said, I want you praying this way, persistently and dependently. You don't quit. Look how he puts this. He goes, I want you to be on alert with all perseverance and petition for who? For all the saints. And on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me to the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray specifically for others, knowing that there is a specific spiritual battle that is ongoing. I wrestled with whether to say it's going on, but it's ongoing. It is this continuous war, and it's going on right now, but it's going to continue to go on. And how long is it going to go on? Until we're home. If you're here, you're at war. Peace isn't going to happen here. It's not until we're in his presence that we'll experience the fullness of the peace of Jesus Christ. He can give you peace in your circumstances, but the peace of Christ in this world is not till he's ruling and reigning over it. He's in charge, but right now he's letting somebody else display their character. And so we're in this war together. We need to pray because the enemy is out for everybody. He's out for your sister. He's out for your child. He's after your brother. He's after your pastor. He's out for your life group. He is out after that person who's teaching your children right now. There is an enemy who is against us always, and we need to link up and pray up because we are in a battle, and we win when we pray because it releases God to be God. That's what prayer does. It says, God, I think you're God. I'm not. So I'm on my knees before the one who is God. Would you please move in my life? He goes, I can do that. When we get it, he's released. Sometimes we're like that three-year-old. Do you remember that age? And you're in a hurry. You're trying to go somewhere in the middle of winter, and they want to put their coat on themselves. I can do it myself. I know you can. I don't have 45 minutes. Let me help you. No! Are you delaying the work of God in your life because you're trying to do it yourself? And he actually says, you need help with this marriage, with this quiet time with God, with that habit that you can't seem to break. You need help with this. Friends, we are in this family together, and we are wounded, weary, wayward people. How many of you have ever been a wayward person in the kingdom of God? After you came to Christ, you still went wayward. We do that. That's why you pray for somebody, because anybody can go down. I'll never forget a pastor friend of mine here in this town. We pray together every week and have for almost 20 years. And I didn't like what he said one day, but it was good stuff. He says, we all go into battle. Doesn't mean you come out alive. Some of you are soldiers. You understand that. You're in a war. It doesn't mean we come out alive. We come out alive spiritually. But you can mess it up in this life and be taken out. God's got a plan. So we pray for each other. We persevere. And so this idea, he says, I want you to be on the alert. That's the term of a soldier who refuses to sleep. He's on his watch. That's what alert literally means, without sleep. Some of you have been griping about the fact that you're not getting your sleep. Start praying and the devil will put you to sleep. Right? I don't want that person awake. Just go to sleep. I don't think that's true, but it's funny. I thought it was funny. But don't waste awake time, I guess is what I'm saying. A lot of times you're worried. That's no good. but you praying with all alert perseverance for others is my responsibility. But I say that as a believer, not as a pastor. Okay, pastoring is a gift I've been given. Teaching and equipping others is a gift I've been given. But as a member of the body of Christ, I pray for you. And I'm so thankful that many of you pray for me. I need that more than you could possibly know. And it's interesting. When Peter joined Jesus in Gethsemane, Jesus already told him what was coming. It says they were overwhelmed with sorrow, so they were getting something. They did not know everything that was going on, but they were getting something. They could feel something was not right. And he says, I want you to sit here, I want you to watch, and I want you to, what? Are you guys really not that with it? He said, I want you to pray. It's no different than for us. He said, I want you to pray. And Jesus went aside, and what did he do? He prayed. The battle of the cross was won in Gethsemane on his knees. If the Son of God had to win it on his knees, then we're going to have to win it on our knees. But Jesus told Peter, Satan is going to sift you like wheat. That's a crazy illustration. He says, you better pray. And what did Peter do? He slept. Jesus came back to Peter. I am convicted by this. I hope you are as well, so I'm not alone. He said, could you not keep watch for 1 hour? He didn't say, hey, couldn't you keep up for 15 minutes? No, he says, couldn't you pray for 60 minutes with me about the eternal destiny of the world? Do you understand that God's inviting you to join him in the eternal destiny of the world? This is big stuff. You're called to kingdom purposes. There are things going to change for eternity because we pray. He says, would you please join me in this process? And sometimes it takes an hour. Jesus spent all night in prayer before he picked 12 disciples. I kind of think he got everybody done by about 2 o'clock, and it took him from 2 to 8 to finish with Judas. He had to pick the one who'd sell him out. He had to pick the one who'd betray him. And he had to, in his own spirit, yield that up. That's just a James thought. But listen, keep watching and praying. Colossians 4:2 says, be devoted to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of what? Thanksgiving. Think about your prayer life. Think about what's going on. I have found this is true of me. Is that my prayer life weakens when my gratitude lessens. You follow me? My prayer life weakens when my gratitude, when I'm griping about what I'm not seeing rather than praising God for what I expect to see. Can you praise God before he gets it done? Because you know he's going to get it done. You know, you have had him come through before. Has he come through for you? I know, 11th hour, 59th minute sometimes, but he comes through so I can praise him before he does because I know he will. And it may not be exactly how I wanted, but it's always good. So I can praise him before I see it. But when I don't, what am I saying to my Father? Here's what I have discerned for me. I don't know if this is what's true of you. I don't trust you. I don't believe you. And I'm not sure I like you. Now that sounds nasty, but you think about that. If I'm not saying thank you for what you're doing in my life and thank you for what you're going to do, then what am I saying? Gratitude is this way of growing your soul towards God. I keep a gratitude journal. I write in stuff every day, several times a day. I'm wanting to put it down and say, I saw this. And whether it was my 8-inch hibiscus blooming out in front, you know, or whether it was the turkeys eating my raspberries, or it's that person that I got to have that conversation with that I'd asked for. Even though it was where I was supposed to be somebody else's place at that very moment. Happened last night going to a wedding practice. Yeah, you're praying for these things and God interrupts your schedule, but can you give gratitude for the interrupter directing stuff perfectly? I think he's an awesome God. And so I'm supposed to persevere in all of this with perseverance and petition for who? For all the saints. Don't give up. Stay up. Keep your guard up. Be alert. All right? He's got a plan. I am thankful for the warriors who hold me up. There are times when I know that the breakthrough that I'm experiencing, even like today, I don't have in this world. It's not me. Somebody else took this from the kingdom of heaven and poured it into my life. I'm so thankful. So keep praying. All right? We are sustained by warriors who pray. And I'm dreaming of this church being a praying, intercessory family that is intense with the Savior in relationship. Have you ever thought about that? Would it be awesome if a teenager comes to this church? We have someone coming. If a teenager comes to this church, that they would know that there's a senior who's their prayer partner praying for them through the week. If we got a homebound senior, isn't it be awesome if we know there's somebody else that's praying for them? That every person knows there's somebody looking out for me. That's why we want our life groups to be this bond of prayer, that we don't just pray a blessing over the group and pray a blessing when we're done, that we pray for each other, that we're called to this perseverance in prayer for one another, and that we pray as husband and wife, we pray with our children, and your children pray for you. My kids have prayed some awesome stuff for me sometimes. Just blows me away. But listen, he says something here. Paul says something. The Apostle Paul, the guy that planted churches all across the Mediterranean, says, "Would you please pray for me on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel?" Now, that's because Paul was such a shy guy about preaching the gospel, right? How do you know that that wasn't prayer-produced boldness? That was the work of God in him? See, so I want you to pray gospel-focused prayers for God's servants. Now, he said, I want you to pray that there'd be an opening in my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. That's what I pray you would pray for me. Do not pray that I would feel better. Pray that I would preach better. I do want to feel better, but that doesn't matter. Not in eternity. No, boldness, the mystery of the gospel. There's a confidence and a clarity and a consistency in the word that I can tell you that there is a Savior who will save you if you will call on him. And there's a righteous judge that must punish all sin, but he poured out that punishment upon his son that you might be saved if you put your faith in him. How do you find forgiveness? Prayer. Funny thing. The whole thing started with prayer, didn't it? This whole thing started. We should have got a clue that the way you begin with God is prayer. Funny thing, that's the way you continue with God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Hear this word. This is the only word you need to know if you want to come to Christ. And I just invite you all to read this out loud. I want you to know this word. You can declare this to anyone. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Whoa. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Righteousness is a gift of God to the person who calls on God to forgive him. You don't earn your righteousness. You don't become more righteous. You are made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And it starts with prayer. Don't make me preach this sermon over. Boldness in prayer inspires boldness in witness. I have found it again and again and again in my life. When I pray for opportunities to speak, I get them. And when I don't see them. I think they're still there. I just don't see him. You ask God for a chance to share, because he's there. And it's interesting. What did he say here? He said, I'm an ambassador, the 20th verse, I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray for me. I'm an ambassador in chains. You know, this is such a crazy little picture here. Do you know the one thing you know about an ambassador? They can't be put in chains. They can break the laws in the country they're in, and they don't get arrested. They have diplomatic immunity. But he is in a different kingdom, and he's put in chains. Wouldn't you think a man who knows how to pray this well could pray himself out of prison? It doesn't always go the way you want. But you know what? This may sound weird to you, but I am glad that God kept him in prison. Because he wrote Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon and 2 Timothy with a shoulder chained to his wrist. I'm not sure he'd have got around to writing those letters if he'd been out just preaching. But God took one of his best spokesmen and put him in a cell and said, this is my will for you. Be a witness. Check it out. Beginning of Philippians, he says, most of the Praetorian Guard has heard about Christ now. Why? Because the shift changed. Time after time, he just went, ha! My new opportunity is now chained to my wrist. That's called a captive moment right there. He had a captive audience. They thought he was the captive. No, they were captive. And many came to Christ. Why? Because he lived in his prison with prayer and was willing to be bold to proclaim the gospel. So I don't know what your prison is. I don't know what God hasn't let you out of that you want out of. But I know this, that there's a God who is with you who will bring a victory through you if you'll pray. But you don't always get what you want, even if you pray constantly. But here's what I've discovered. A couple more things. And I will stop. Prayer. This is one I think sometimes that I miss. I don't know why I do, but prayer glorifies God. Because you come to one and say, I think you're big enough to handle this. Do you bring him glory? Do you have some bold stuff that you're asking of God? That we would pray for this community. That when you speak about Cave Junction, wouldn't it be awesome when we speak about Cave Junction, it would be about the revival that broke across there instead of the reputation that town has had for all these decades? Can we ask God for something bigger than what you've ever asked him for? And bring God glory, because he is not poor, nor is he powerless. We could ask for more. I want to encourage you, because I've got this vision that God could do more if we would ask more. That we'd be a people devoted to joyful, persistent prayer to a God who loves to say yes to his child. Don't you? I love saying yes to my kids. In fact, one of my kids knew how to ask better than the others. I know you all try to be perfectly fair, but you know you never are. Just be honest. You never are. And he got more shoes than any of my children. He loved his shoes, man. And he'd ask and he'd get them. It was crazy. What are you asking for? That the father says, that's all right. I'm big enough for that. The shoes are the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's a bold witness that comes from his life. But why are we people of little prayer? People of little prayer are living differently than I think they should. Because we live like God's not there, like God does not care, like God has not made promises, like there's no spiritual war, and like there's no need of his presence or power in my life. And I pray because the opposite of that is true. Strengthen the way you pray. Have a place. Have a time. Have a promise. Come to God with his promises. It'll change the way you pray. Be specific. Be bold. By all means, be persistent. And by all means, be thankful. And God is going to bless you with a powerful victory because he promised to do so. Father, thank you. Thank you for these promises. Thank you that you are the promiser, the one that we can trust. And we come to you with some broken hearts because some of the things and the promises that we thought we claimed would work a certain way and it didn't. And so now we don't even come. Or we don't come with the boldness that we used to have. And so we're just coming saying, Lord, we're still broken. We're not praying as we would like, but we're praying now. Move us forward after you. Produce in us prayers that would glorify your name and fill us with great joy. We love you. And we are so thankful that you love us. And oh Lord, I'm asking for that one today that's listening to my voice, that's never prayed, Lord, save me. That today they'd pray it. That they just would call on you for that very first time and say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Save me. And I thank you that you will. I'm looking forward to hearing about that. Thank you for what you're going to do here at this church, in this family. It won't ever be the same. You're going to change our prayer team. You're going to change our life groups. You're going to change our children's ministry. You're going to change our youth ministry. You're going to change our marriages. You're going to change our parenting as we pray. We love you. Before we ever see it, we love you.